Doug Christie. He's Jason Ross.
Get off my lawn.
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
And here we are. Welcome into the Wednesday edition. Jason Ross, Doug Christie.
Hey, who are you?
You're back.
Hey.
Hi, Doug.
Listen.
Welcome back. Look.
I'm putting in a grievance versus Cam Newton.
So we had it right. We had it right. Doug was out because his Survivor team missed.
This is some bull, man. Come on, man. It's a damn shame.
Chris is alive. Jay's alive.
You guys still going to break me off if you win like I was going to do you?
Oh, really? I didn't hear you saying that to me.
The first one out is...
What does it matter? We're together.
Am I still in last in the picks? Okay. Yeah. So you're the first one out. I'm last in the picks. No, you don't get a damn thing.
Neither do you.
Exactly.
If I'm the survivor, I'll bring in donuts that day.
You cheap. I wish I could cuss on air right now. you cheap. Beep. Oh, it's good to be back, gentlemen.
It's good to have you back.
I missed the ragtag. I need a little trash talking in my life.
Yeah? Well, yes. You're going to get it today.
Absolutely. That's what I'm here for. Are you joking me?
We will have picks. We'll give our Thursday night pick tomorrow. We'll have our picks on Friday. But
yes, sir.
They got us again, Doug.
Yeah.
But that's why
it's a 16-week season.
Well, we might need all 17.
It's okay.
All right. Well, right now, we're only back two games, but they beat us. Jay had won the week. You and Chris tied. I came between them.
Those Monday night ones are what got me.
Well, you got the Chiefs.
I'm never, ever picking the Cowboys again, man. Cowboys suck. Ah!
Your wins, Titans and Colts.
Yeah.
Giants and Ravens.
Yeah.
Lions and Dolphins and Chiefs. You had a 7-7 week. You lost with the Vikings, the Patriots.
The Vikings, you're awful. Kirk Cousins, you...
Well, that's what I said about that game. I'm like, they played the Falcons. I'm like, I've lost too many games with the Falcons.
Did anybody pick the Falcons, by the way?
No, we all picked the Vikings.
Brother Jay, what's he over here?
He's showing you numbers.
He's gloating.
He's had the top score.
Did you pick the 49ers?
He was the only one. That's what moved him
the 49ers.
Into a tie with me, and then he won one of the two.
You know what? That's actually, Jay, that's not really genius because that's your team.
Come on now. Wait a minute.
You just undercut.
You suck if you don't pick your own team, man. Coming here telling me the 49ers. If you haven't picked the 49ers, you're terrible.
I'm just waiting on the week you have to pick against the Seahawks.
It might be this week.
Seahawks can't go 16-0.
It might be this week.
You're not going to pick the Cardinals.
You're damn right I'm not.
So are you going to take a tie like Chris?
Hey, Chris almost had that.
I want to say, Chris, spectacular work. Because I was going to ask, does a tie mean you tie the game and then do you count the overtime?
Oh, no, he had to get a tie. So he had to get to overtime, which if Rivera kicks the extra point, he at least gets to the part that's really difficult.
Yeah.
And then he needs no score for 10 minutes, which is possible.
So you were cussing at Rivera then.
I was furious. Yeah. Because I knew what was going to happen, too. They were trash the entire game. Right. Oh, you're going to put it together now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was...
Yeah, when you told me that, I giggled. I giggled out. It wasn't a laugh, Chris. I giggled. I said, only Chris would do that. And then for it to be that close, I was at home going, oh, my God, Chris is a genius. Did I just put that in a sentence?
Once I allowed the point total for Chris at 5 points for a tie, he's going to pick a tie every week. He's going to, and he'll get one probably.
Really?
Well, I know there's been one. Would he have picked the Bengals and the Eagles? I don't know. But going forward.
So at the end of regulation, it has to be a tie or all the way
all
through?
All the way through, it has to be a tie. Okay. Not an overtime. Because overtime was Titans-Texans. Titans won.
That was and Jay had to be the Colts.
Oh.
Oh.
So the way that morning starts, it's, Colts are 21-0 down to the Bengals. Your Patriots were losing. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, no, we're going to lose both. But actually, your game was closer. I thought Jay was out.
Yeah.
For sure. And then they came back. And then, actually, I thought the Patriots were going to win the way they were driving at the end. And
man, Cam didn't look good.
No, he didn't.
I didn't think COVID would do that much to him, man.
You also got to think they're also in Denver, too, so maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that was in New England.
Oh, it was. It was.
It was in New England.
Oh, man.
It's in New England, so, you know.
You are on your money.
Yes.
I see. Picking ties, quick with the wit. Chris is rolling.
Yeah.
And Manchester City. We got two.
Yeah?
Yeah, 1-0, 3-1.
All right.
We're doing big. I got my jersey. I was going to wear it today, but I figured I'd take a lot of crap and you guys might throw something on me, so I didn't want to get it dirty.
Well, it's good to have you back. Today, we're going to do something that we did last week while you were gone. It was Friday.
So it was unauthorized.
It was.
I wasn't here, so it was unauthorized.
But welcomed. It received rave reviews.
It's
America's favorite game. We're bringing it back today, and you're just gonna have to learn on the fly.
Joker's Wild's back.
We'll see.
Okay.
Card Sharks, they're all back on some, you know, Family Feud. They're all there. We will do that today. Coming up at 3:30, Frank Schwab, NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. He will join us at the bottom of this hour. We'll get a lot of things going on in the NFL. Today, a question that we asked yesterday on our crossover to Carmichael, Dave, and Jay Mars for the morning show. Who are the five best players in baseball? We're going to ask that. Our group here is going to come up with a list. We're going to replay what Dave and Jay said from the morning. But, Jay and I were talking about this. If we did that in the NBA, I think for the most part, we would probably be pretty close on five. Especially if you did to 10. I think you'd have
five, I would say we would probably all come up with 3 to 4.
Yeah, pretty unified. Yeah. Maybe you have it 5, I have them 3.
Yes.
But we'd have the names
pretty,
in there.
Yeah.
Baseball's different. And that's why we're going to see what this exercise produces. We're going to do that. And with that said, it's a Wednesday. It's a hump day. So our hump day hashtag, you do the hashtag 5 best in baseball, the number 5 best in baseball. Put your 5 out there. You tell us who it is, and we'll see what's out there on social media, and we'll see what your list is. So we took pitchers out. We do want to put that out there. Pitchers obviously are important, but I think everyday players will make it a little more interesting. 5 best in baseball right now.
Oh, man.
So
okay.
We'll have that coming up in the show. We got 5 on it.
I got 4.
Okay.
I was moving around about 5. And
just throw a Mariner in there.
He's on my honorable mention.
Okay.
Kyle right. Lewis, are you're going to make it? Yeah, absolutely.
But he might get there.
You're young, but you're ready.
You might. Oh. You might get there. We will see. So we got 5 on it coming up. We also have, we're getting closer to the NBA draft, also the NBA free agency period, but a few people are throwing out some Kings trade ideas, some NBA, we'll call them experts. We'll tell you what those are as well. So we're going to get to all of that, but it's time.
First things first.
Close things first. Top of the order, Mookie Betts, first pitch with a fly ball to right field. Heading on back is Renfro at the wall, and it's gone, a home run. Mookie Betts is doing merely everything. A home run, 2 stolen bases, couple of runs scored, and on the first pitch of the bottom of the 6th, he hits a home run to right.
That's Charlie Steiner there from the Dodgers radio network. So game one, Doug, goes to the Dodgers. They came in as the favorite. I still think this has potential to really be a great series, but kind of a comfortable win. And one of the things I thought that derailed the Rays, they walked way too many Dodgers. Glasnow, I think, had 6 walks. So you give them more plate appearances, more times to see pitches, you're in trouble. The lineup is too good. 8 runs, 10 hits, and I think the other storyline besides Betts doing absolutely everything, Clayton Kershaw.
Hey!
He was pretty good yesterday.
Talk about it. So I heard there was a lot of going back and forth about Clayton Kershaw, and one of the interesting things that I heard is, you're a baseball guy, Jay's a baseball guy, so just take this and tell me what you think. Do you blame the manager a little bit for his woes in the playoffs, in the World Series, in the later rounds of the playoffs? Because maybe he's not a 7-plus inning pitcher. Maybe after 6. I guess if you look at his ERA after 6, it's like cut in half. It's like 2.21 or something, which is big time. After that, it jumps up to like 5 or 6.
Third time through the lineup, that kind of thing.
And not all pitchers. I think Martinez for
Pedro.
Pedro was similar. And once they figured that out, he was dominant. And then they bring in somebody for the mid innings, and then someone to close it out. So to watch him do that, I was excited for him, to be honest. And listening to some of his comments, he was more or less like, I guess, psychologists and different stuff that he's talked to. Actually, he went up to Seattle and saw somebody about velocity and different things. He was more along the lines of, look, I don't think what everyone else thinks. I'm thinking about this particular moment. Have I had failings? Yes, I have. But they don't come into my mind in these particular instances. So I was really excited to see that for him.
Yeah, I thought the big part of the game, so the Dodgers scored first with the Bellinger two-run home run. The Rays came back and scored in the top of the next inning. It's 2-1. The four-run fifth. It felt like the Dodgers should have had about a run or two, but they kept getting it. You know, now they're adding on and stretching it open, and then they got it to 8-1, and the inning where the Rays got two more on them could have been a lot more and made it, you know. So now you go back to the inning where they stretched out maybe two extra runs. All right, now if the game is 6-3, you can get there. 8-3 was more difficult. Dodgers were the better team certainly yesterday. Mookie Betts was everywhere. I mean,
wow, old school baseball.
Yeah,
gets on
bases.
First, steals second, steals third. Damn near stole home, wouldn't you say?
Well, that play.
Ken Griffey Jr.?
Not quite, baby.
That play, his speed and his aggressiveness. I mean, he left off the bat still a play at the plate, but he beat it. He homered. He's great. I mean, he's absolutely great.
And to the series before that, he hadn't been the Mookie that we had seen previously.
Yeah.
And
except defensively.
Yeah. Well, defensively, he was spectacular. Right. But with the bat. And, you know, could you give credit to the pitchers he was facing? Yeah, you could. But you had to think that a player that good was going to break through, and good for him, because once he got the confidence, and you can see, if you get him on, if you walk him, you're in trouble. If he gets a hit, you're in trouble. The point is, you just, if you could strike him out or make him pop up, ground out, try to if you can.
Yeah, you mentioned Clayton Kershaw, though, Doug. He does get the win. Here's his manager, Dave Roberts, talking about Kershaw.
With any major league pitcher, starting pitcher, you got to still watch the game and make sure their stuff is still where it needs to be. I just don't want to live in the world of a hard stop. And I just think that I still have to watch the game and understand that we came out of game seven. I wouldn't say red line, but we use a lot of guys. And that was just 2 days ago. So he's our ace. We need him to get outs tonight. So the ultimate goal, Tex, is just to win baseball games and how we go about it. But I'll certainly have a close eye on him.
Talk to me about Dave Roberts, because he gets criticized because he takes analytics into consideration, but as you can say, a hard stop, what he's saying is like, we're pitching to six innings, that's it, it's a wrap. But he doesn't do that. He goes off of feel. Would you rather have a manager that goes more feel or goes more analytics?
I think from the player's perspective, they want the feel.
Yeah. I still got it.
Right. And I think there needs to be that. Now, you have to weigh that, because if you're pitching and I'm your manager, I know you're going to tell me you still got it, but I would want you to be like, come on, Doug, are you sure? Like, you've got it? Like, I've got to know. And then, have I been burned by you? When you've told me that in the past, no, Doug had it. He had it. Or like, okay, I know this isn't the Astros game in May, but you told me that and you didn't have it. So I have to register all of that. Yeah. But the example yesterday, so here's where I think managers sometimes, and Dave Roberts and Clayton Kershaw are in the same spot in my mind, because they haven't won the last game of the year. Kershaw is a Hall of Famer. He's fantastic. He has had playoff shortcomings. I thought he actually pitched pretty well in the game that he got criticized for in the Braves.
Would agree.
And his manager then ultimately took him out. His bullpen was awful that day. And it gets added to his resume.
Yes, because it's like you set it up for that.
Right. Yeah. Yesterday, the irony of Clayton Kershaw was good, and I remember he's starting to hug people and like, oh, I guess he's done. They probably worked that out. He had pitched six innings. He had given up two hits, walk one.
And in the first inning, got in trouble.
And he got out of
that. And he worked out of it.
So then I go to the seventh inning, the inning that the Rays had runners on with nobody out. It's the bullpen. They've given up two runs, and it felt like they could have gotten more. Roberts is going to get crushed. And I'm going, he can't win.
Yes.
Now, they won the game and nobody's talking about it. But if that ends up being a seven-run inning, why'd you take Kershaw out?
Right.
Okay.
But now, then if Kershaw goes in, the only thing he could do was clean house.
Right.
If he just wipes everybody out and if he gives it up, Dave, why'd you keep Kershaw in?
Yeah.
I would agree. I'm more feel, too. I'm not just going to say, because I can look at you and tell if you got your stuff.
Yeah.
Even if you're in trouble.
He was less than 80 pitches.
Okay.
He's a workhorse. He's had
like 74, 77? 70,
something like that. And again, one walk. His stuff was, he's had better stuff, but he was in control of the game.
Yeah.
I had no problem with them leaving him in. Yeah. But they took him out. Again, I had no problem with them taking him out either. But it's one of those things where people would then kill Dave Roberts if the bullpen blew that game.
It almost seems like with Clayton, and you tell me when you're watching, early you can see it. The stuff is there. He's getting people. And then about inning five, someone will have a real good at bat. Mm-hmm. He'll foul off three or four, and then he'll slap one out. Yeah. And then you're just waiting for the moment, and bang, there it is. It's over the fence.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like, and I think sometimes Dave Roberts needs to save him from himself, and he is that dominant. He's that dude, but he's not that dude for nine innings, and that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder what he felt. So he brings in Florio, who got an out, gave up two runs.
Yep.
Had left the bases a mess. Then Gonzalez got in, gave up a couple more hits. Those runs get charged to Florio. I mean, and it could have been a lot more, and he's like, okay, by the end, he got out of that inning. And the Dodgers didn't need to score anymore, but it's 8-3, and you're going, did I make the right decision? But he did. He got through it. And let's hear from Clayton Kershaw himself just basically getting through that one.
It's great to get this series going with a win. You know, that's the biggest thing, you know, for us is to get going, get that first game. It's always important to get that first game of a series. And just for me personally, it's awesome, you know, to get to pitch well and get a win in a World Series. Like you said, I'm just thankful for another opportunity.
Yeah, so I think it was a good tone setter, Doug, for them. Game two is today. This one feels like going in. I mean, Blake Snell, if he's the same guy of Cy Young from a year or two ago with the Rays, I like the matchup for him today. Mm-hmm. This feels like this needs to be a Rays win for them to win the series. Now, can they come down back from 0-2? Yeah, but Buehler's probably going game three. He's the best Dodger. It's going to be really difficult. This needs, for the Rays, this needs to be a win today.
And what it needs to be is it needs to be a dominant pitching performance, because what's happened is the Dodgers offense has woke up and Betts has woke up, and no one's really – a couple guys are struggling, but whether it's Bellinger or whatever, I mean, not only base hits and then stealing bases, but then they're going yard. It's a big game for them.
First things first.
Yesterday we talked about an NBA coaching hiring with the Indiana Pacers, adding to their mix. Now the New Orleans Pelicans, Doug, have a new coach, and it's a familiar name, Stan Van Gundy. This is a really good job, at least for roster construction. When you look at the roster, you look at what they did this year and the belief of where they're going, what do you think about this marriage?
Initially I went, and as I think more about it.
Why for him? Because you've seen him?
Maybe it's just not super sexy. I don't know.
Weird? I've been successful.
Yeah, he has. I've seen him before. But this is where I sat back and I said, okay, get out of your own way and think basketball. It's a young team. They need discipline, and they need to learn how to play on the defensive end. Now, you could bring in a coordinator that offensively, because they were really good offensively last year. But was that Alvin Gentry? I think a lot of it probably was Alvin Gentry. So you see that they can do that, so you can bring someone in that role. This may be a really good fit for a team that needs to be disciplined. And David, the general manager?
Oh, my gosh. Griffin.
David Griffin.
Yeah.
He's made really solid decisions so far. He went in, set everything up as far as facilities and all this different stuff. This might oddly be a good fit, and I'm not sure. My initial response was, I don't know, man. Maybe this is the type of coach that they need. Need this? You got a talent, but talent without discipline is just kind of the Dallas Cowboys. So, right? So now, might you need someone to massage and work it out on the offensive end? It's a possibility. So I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach, but I'm a little more optimistic than I was on my initial reaction.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his track record. He has won. He's been in the league. He knows the league. I think maybe where it failed for him in Detroit was he had control of both things, where he's front office and...
That was not good.
Yeah,
and Orlando was good.
Yeah, but that's hard to do. I mean, Doc Rivers did it for a while, and that's hard. And then... you know, they ultimately stepped Doc down from that in L.A., and then he was just the coach. And that,
Bill O'Brien?
I mean, it can work. Bill Belichick has a lot of control of everything they do, but he's done it for a long time and obviously wildly successful. But that's – I think you could still make some of the recommendations of who you would like as a player. But
right.
David Griffin's pretty well respected, so he's clearly in control of that. And obviously,
isn't David basketball operations in Trajan Langdon is the general manager?
Yeah, so I mean, I think they're all that front office though. That seems to be a pretty good one there.
What was your take?
I felt a little bit the same way you did, but it's weird when we think that way. By and large, he's been successful,
right?
Not a championship, but he's been a coach that's got a good, decent winning percentage and has won games and knows the league. Yet, I'm a little bit with you where it's like Steve Nash has never coached, but that kind of intrigues me.
Yeah.
Now, but I don't know what there's a known quantity, but we haven't known him as a champion.
Right. True. I like if it came out and said Jason Kidd got the job, I would have been like, oh, wow. And maybe I could be wrong because Jason might not be the exact coach. I think as a communicator, but then where's the discipline going to come from? Mm-hmm. Or because I don't know if Jason is a disciplinarian, but looking at that team, you need to get some heat under Zion, make sure that he's in shape, make sure he's doing his thing. And if you want to take that next level, because offensively they were a top five team in the league, I believe, shooting threes, scoring, all those type of things. But that'll only do something during the regular season. If you really want to take that step, you're going to need a defensive presence. And this may be it.
Yeah, and it feels like they still may be in a spot where I think they're trying to fully establish what the Pelicans culture is. And it's not broken there.
Right.
But they've had so many changes over the years. So get to that part. And then, you know, like Miami, we've clearly praised what they've done for you. Like, that is a culture. They've got a way, plug and play different players.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like it's as much about what they run. It's about that culture. And then inside of it, hey, we're going to run what we run, and we want to do it the best we can.
So Stan Van Gundy is Eric Spoelstra without the Jason Kidd style.
Wait, Stan Van Gundy? Okay, how do you mean
because
by that?
Because Eric Spoelstra is that disciplinarian.
Right.
He's that, but he's also a high-level communicator, more engaging maybe than Stan was. And I'm only going off because I like Stan. I look at his Twitter, different things. I love what I hear from him, especially as a commentator. But I'm going off of what was judged from that Miami situation with Shaq and the different things and how he got pushed out and all of a sudden Pat took them. So I think if Pat chooses you, you have to be serious about your job.
Yeah.
So he's got that.
Right.
It's the other thing that I'm not sure that he has.
Well, I think it's also when you get the culture, let's go back to Miami and Spoelstra, he coached the same way, but then you get a player, maybe your best player, if not your best player, Jimmy Butler, that fits perfectly. He might also police, like, I don't have to be the full disciplinarian. You already know what I'm about. You know what our practices are about. Yeah. You know what our culture's about. And we have slippage. Jimmy can correct it too.
Yes.
As well as me.
And there, could it be Drew Holiday? It needs to be Brandon Ingram.
Okay, over Zion. Well, Zion's still.
Yeah,
too new.
Because I think Brandon Ingram's a better player. I think Zion's a more dynamic, athletic specimen, but he doesn't have that same type of game.
Yeah, Drew might be better.
Drew Holiday is a monster.
And has the experience.
Yes, but normally it's best when it's your best player.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can work when it's not, but in that particular, because we look at Kawhi Leonard, that's right. Part of the problem. He's exactly. Okay. He's not saying anything. Yeah. So we need somebody that's going to step up and voice with the coach and kind of be that second voice on the coach. I mean, on the court and everyone going in the same direction.
Yeah. All right. So those are some of the things on First Things First. Again, Dodgers and Rays game two coming up. Lots of football discussion, including when we come back. Frank Schwab, NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, joins us. And also remember, hump day hashtag. Hashtag five best in baseball. Who do you think the five best in baseball are right now? Non-pitchers. Let us know. Send that via the hashtag five best in baseball. We're back with more after this on KHDK. All right, back here, Sports 1140 KHDK. Jason Ross, Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
As we continue to roll right along here, I know you missed this one. It is 3:33. Brothers Home Improvement.
Oh, where's that?
Your window replacement experts. Visit Brothers Windows.
Oh, brother.
.com. Again, coming up, we want our hump day hashtag. Hashtag five best in baseball. Who are the five best players, non-pitchers?
Let's see. Ken Griffey.
Oh, come on.
Ken
no
Griffey,
Mariners. No.
Ichiro. Ken Griffey and Ichiro.
And Edgar Martinez.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, but we're going to go back to football here. Football is always a hot topic, and the storylines each and every week, it's tailor-made for us here. We love it. As Frank Schwab, NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, is going to join us as all guests are coming to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it, as Frank is ready to go. Frank, how are you today?
Just thinking about the top five players in baseball. I hope my my guy Christian Yelich makes the list. Give a write-in vote for Christian.
There you go. I think that's a good start. I don't even know where to begin with you. Maybe let's start with the messy part of the NFC East and the Dallas Cowboys. What is going on with this team right now?
They're terrible. I mean, it's, you know, they were bad on defense. It's clear, you know, Mike McCarthy, for all the things he might have learned during his time off, you know, just hiring Mike Nolan, because they were friends from way back in San Francisco as a defensive coordinator, is just a disastrous hire. It might cost him his job. I know Jerry Jones is almost notoriously patient with coaches, but, I mean, what if McCarthy goes, you know, 3-13 and they don't win the NFC East? 3-13 might win the NFC East, the way they're going, but it's, I mean, the defense is horrible. The offense is, they have a lot of skill guys, but their offensive line is not good. And Andy Dalton's never been a guy who's been great when he's pressured. So it's just kind of a bad fit there. And, you know, earlier this week, somebody, you know, we're talking about the NFC, so another show, and he said, is this the kind of division where, you know, 7-9 wins it? And I said, which of these teams are getting the 7 wins?
Exactly.
I can't tell you, other than the fact that they have to play each other, none of these teams are 7-win quality. I mean, we seriously, if everything breaks kind of right, we're seriously looking at a 6-10 team hosting a playoff game in January. I mean, this is, I almost hope it happens, A, just for the chaos, and B, because I think it's absolutely ridiculous that division winners win, host playoff games just because they win the division. So maybe that would spur a rule change, but the NFC East is awful. The Cowboys are terrible. The Eagles have been underachieving since the Super Bowl. We have to seriously start talking about Doug Peterson and whether he's a one-year wonder. Mm-hmm. And then Washington and the Giants, that game was horrible. It was just like, wow, these teams are actually in the NFL. So it's just a bad division. It's honestly probably going to go down as the worst division in NFL history unless something crazy changes. It's just a bad. And when I do my, you know, I do power rankings every week, of my bottom six teams, four are in the same division.
Wow,
I can't even
wow.
remember anything like that. Yeah. It's just, it was Jets, Jaguars, and then the NFC East. And it's like, I just can't remember anything like that before.
Seattle Seahawks over the Saints, 7-9. Just saying, Frank. at what point do you look at the general manager / owner in Dallas? Because you go with CeeDee Lamb, but you have so many problems with your defensive backs and safeties and different things. That could have been an area that maybe they addressed and they did not, and now it's being exposed.
Right, and, you know, there's let's go back to Ezekiel Elliott, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Running backs don't go in the first round anymore. It was fourth overall. Ezekiel's a really good player. Player went after him, Jalen Ramsey, the highest paid cornerback in NFL history for a reason.
Good point.
You know, and if you're not paying Ezekiel Elliott, maybe you pay Byron Jones and he doesn't go to Miami. You know,
right.
And Ezekiel just, I mean, when I was watching Monday night, I was like, wow, Tony Pollard looks better than Ezekiel Elliott right now. I mean, I don't think he's a better player necessarily, but, you know, it goes back to stuff like that. It's the small decisions where Jerry has to pay everybody. He's got to be that guy. And sometimes, you know, you run out of money and you make some wrong decisions. I don't think the CeeDee Lamb pick was bad, just because I think at that point, a guy like that is sitting in your lap. You say, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. And we'll figure out the rest later. He is that good. But, they've made many missteps. It is a poorly put together football team. Now, they've gotten unlucky with some things. Tyron Smith is one of the great tackles of the past 10 years in the NFL. He's hurt. Travis Frederick retired. Lyle Collins done for the year. Their offensive line's been decimated. Obviously, the Dak injury was a crushing blow. But, yeah, they've made many, many missteps, and it's really biting them now.
Frank Schwab, NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports with us. Frank, best game this weekend, at least schedule-wise, and probably in a lot of people's rankings, Steelers and Titans both get there at 5-0. What's your lean on with this game?
You know, I think that we're, you know, it's funny because before last week I was like, why is nobody talking about the Steelers? It's their best start since 1979, or one of the most popular teams in the NFL. But nobody's really buzzing about how good the Steelers are. Then they blow out the Browns. Everybody's on the Steelers now. And that line in Vegas, I just wrote it in my picks today, that line in Vegas last week was, I believe it was Titans -1.5, and now it's up to Steelers -2.5. And what really changed? I mean, we all knew the Steelers were good, and, you know, the Titans, yeah, they escaped against Houston, but it was kind of a weird spot for them after a Tuesday night game. I like the Titans. I think that they're a well-coached team. I think they are good all around. Obviously, Derrick Henry is amazing. But I think one thing we have to say right now is we have to recognize that Ryan Tannehill is like a top 7 or 8 quarterback in the NFL.
Wow.
I know it sounds crazy, but at some point we just have to let go of Dolphins Ryan Tannehill. This guy's pulling off the Rich Gannon. I know you guys on that area know all about the Rich Gannon story. It's weird. It's a rare thing for a guy at age 31, 32 to turn it on and become a great quarterback, but over Tannehill's last, I might get the stats a little bit wrong here, but I think over his last 12 games, he has 34 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions, something like that. I mean, it's insane. He posted the 4th best passer rating in a single season all time last year. He's come back this year and been just as good. At some point, we just have to let go of our preconceived notions of Ryan Tannehill and say, this dude is good. I think the Titans are legit. I don't know if necessarily they're good enough to beat the Chiefs or Ravens or even, you know, to have to play at Pittsburgh. But I think at home against Pittsburgh, I like the Titans. I think this team is really good. Vrabel's a good coach. It's going to be a great game, but I'll lean Titans there.
Frank, at the beginning of the season, NFC has some quality teams. We weren't thinking that what we're seeing with the 49ers was going to happen, all the injuries. But one of the teams that I thought was better than they are displaying are the Minnesota Vikings at 1-5. What really happened here?
I mean, it's a little bit of everything. A lot of it was salary cap related. They just, you know, they basically, you know, when you look back at the Cousins signing, what they proclaimed and all the contracts were built this way, that they had a 2-year window. And at the end of the 2 years, they were just going to have to release a lot of guys because, you know, you can't pay everybody. Their contracts become too much. So they lost a lot of veteran leadership, a lot of guys. They turned over their whole cornerback room, basically. Had to, you know, they traded Stephon Diggs, who's a heck of a player. You know, and I think they made some errors. Justin Jefferson, if you watch that guy play the last few weeks, how can the Minnesota Vikings coaching staff watch training camp and say, we're going to go with Olavisi Johnson over Justin Jefferson for the first 2 games? I mean, it just boggles my mind. He's opened up their offense, but it's kind of almost too late. And there's still something there with the Vikings. They outplayed the Seahawks. They just lost. They're 1 yard away on a 4th down from beating the Seahawks in Seattle. So it's not like they're just devoid of any competitive, you know, whatever, like the Jets are. They're probably better than their 1-5 record, but 1-5, you're done. That's it. And it seemed like that Seahawks loss kind of broke their will because the Falcons, the 0-5 Falcons, just ran all over them. Yeah, I like Mike Zimmer as a coach. I do think he is one of the better NFL head coaches. But let's say this, it really bottoms out 4-12, whatever it's going to be. Does he survive that? I don't know. I mean, the Vikings have to ask themselves a lot of tough questions. It's more of a rebuild than we kind of knew at the time, just because, you know, some of the stars were there, but they had to get rid of a lot of guys in the showing.
Frank Schwab, NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports with us. Frank, it's clear it seems like the Raiders are improved. They get the Buccaneers on Sunday night. Are they improved enough to beat Tampa? What do you think about that game?
I think so. Now, the story today about their 5 offensive linemen being sent home because of the Trent Brown test, like, that changes everything. That's kind of 2020 in the NFL. Like, I can like the Raiders at noon, and then by 1 o'clock, you know, we have all these tests, and it's like, oh, okay. I think the Raiders are a good football team. Look, you know, when you beat already the Saints and the Chiefs, okay, that gets my attention. And I think the Buccaneers are a very, very good team, but I think it's a great spot for the Raiders. You know, week off, they're rested, they're good. If you're telling me that they're going to get at least 4 of their offensive linemen on the field, okay, I might pick them still. I think it's a good team. I think Gruden's doing a good job. It's always funny. People like joke about Gruden and never give him any credit, but I think that they've done a heck of a job this year. All that young talent is finally paying off for them. Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Abram, all those guys. And it's fun. It's great to see the Raiders competitive again. And I think they're legit. I do think that this team, they're not going to win that division, obviously, But I do think that they are a playoff team. I think it's a pretty good football team.
Frank Schwab, NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. Frank, last question. We got 30 seconds. You are the head coach for the Dolphins. Are you going to go ahead and put Tua in, or are you going to let the young man sit out?
I'm fine with it. Everybody's freaking out, but we have to drill it down to this. They benched a 37-year-old journeyman for the fifth pick of the draft. Okay. Look, the Dolphins aren't making the playoffs anyway. This is for their future. And who says Tua's not an upgrade? We've seen Burrow, Herbert play well. I'd do it, too. I think it's fine. Tua, for the rest of the year, is going to be a good player for them.
All right, Frank. Yeah, thank you. Great to catch up with you. That's Frank Schwab, NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. Check out his work there. When we come back, Doug and I will talk about that move. Ryan Fitzpatrick, his heart is broken about that move. And also, Antonio Brown, could they be going to Doug's Seahawks?
What?
All right. That is next here on KHDK. Bring back those nights when I held you beside me. Unbreak my heart. Is this the song that Ryan Fitzpatrick was singing to Brian Flores?
You are so bad, Chris.
That's great.
No, that's not nice, man.
This just came up in random.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like you should keep that going. Can you keep the music going for,
underneath it?
Yeah, so we can hear Ryan Fitzpatrick. You want to hear him?
You guys ain't right, man.
Well, this is facts.
You know what? This is sports.
What
are you going to do?
And it broke Ryan Fitzpatrick's heart.
We talked in the past, me and you guys, about how I'm the placeholder, and this eventually was going to happen no matter. It was just a matter of kind of when, not if. And it broke my heart yesterday. And, it's a tough thing for me to hear and to now have to deal with. But, I'm going to do my best with it.
You are so foul, bro.
He's hitting the post. Okay.
That you guys, man.
Well, I spent a lot of time on this story yesterday because it developed yesterday. Tua was named the starter. I don't understand this.
These are tough conversations, man. No, guys.
What?
That's
the Dolphins?
No, I mean, you play and you're rolling, and I can understand the heartbreak.
Well, I think all of us agreed that, since they're doing this, they've obviously said, at the bye, we're switching quarterbacks no matter what. That's the only thing that made sense about the move.
So you mean like this is the plan?
At the beginning of the season, they said like, hey, no matter what happens, at the bye, we're switching quarterbacks.
Okay. So that's what I was saying yesterday. Okay. That's exactly right. That's what I told to these guys, and I said to Chris and to the audience, I said,
Did Chris just explain something perfectly? On a level that everyone could
understand? Yes.
Wow.
Well, because the example would be Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Clearly you take him number one. Clearly they said, we're going all in with you. If you go 0-16, fine.
Okay, right.
16-0 and lead us to Super Bowl, great.
Right.
But you're a guy.
Right.
Miami, and again, they don't have to tell us publicly what the plan was, but they've never said anything about Tua.
Right.
He's been the backup. He got in at the end of the garbage time last week.
Yeah.
And that was fine. They get to the bye, and like Chris said, if that was the internal plan, that's the only thing that makes sense. It clearly was not told to Ryan Fitzpatrick, so I don't think it was an internal plan.
Well, hold on. It may have been.
No,
based upon what he said.
I don't think so.
He just said it like
they're in the playoffs. Well, I disagree with our last guest who was great, Frank Schwab. He's like, they're not going to make the playoffs. They can.
They can
win the division.
But two things can be true. It can still break his heart but still be part of the plan, meaning that, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start off Fitz, and at the break, he's going in. Okay. We start the season, we're 3-3, we're in the playoff race, I'm playing good, and then the plan comes into play, and it can still break my heart.
Right.
So.
But, okay, now you're a member of the Dolphins, working hard every week. You're a linebacker. You're like, man, we're 3-3. We've had some, and we're not a joke 3-3. We're pretty good. Fitzpatrick is more than capable.
Only if he pee-pees down his leg this week.
After the bye when he returns,
yes.
What does that mean?
Well, because I'm jumping in, excuse me, and I'm thinking that what you were saying is if I'm a linebacker and we're balling and we got a chance to make the playoffs and I'm on the other side going, yo, why are you guys switching for? Well, if Tua goes out and balls, then I'm going to go, okay, I understand why you're switching.
Right.
If I've seen him in practice, I'm saying, when are you going to switch? It depends. But if he goes out there and doesn't play up to Fitz's level, and Fitz as Jay said last week, he's known to throw five touchdowns and then six interceptions. Yeah. So that could cause that question.
You can always go back to Fitz, but what does that do to Tua? I just don't understand what this does. I didn't think like they had to do this now.
You can't go back.
To Tua or to Fitz?
No, unless Tua gets hurt. You can't because this is
so if he,
this is his Joe Burrow moment, which okay. you said at the beginning. We're going to ride with you regardless what happens. If what there's 10 games left, if you go 1-9 or 0-10, we're riding with you.
How but do I explain that to you as a captain?
As a teammate.
Yeah, Doug, you're a captain of the offense. You're not a quarter. You've been there the longest time. You're 3-3 and I'm like, "Doug, no, it doesn't matter. We're going with Tua." And they go 0-10 and they've ruined your season.
Yeah.
Ruined your bonuses.
Yeah.
Well, that's where as a team meeting. Look, this is the plan, y'all.
We'll do that week one.
Well, no, because that wasn't the plan. He wasn't ready.
Why is he ready now? What's changed?
The plan said in 6 weeks, just like if you sprain your ankle, when's he coming back? 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
At the beginning of the season, hip will be ready in 4 to 6 weeks. We're watching him in practice. Okay, he's ready. This was the date. And if everyone's on board on that, and I will say this, everyone's on board initially, but now at 3-3 and we kind of see that we might be able to make the playoffs, some guys are like standing on the side ready to jump off. I get that. The point is, this is how the Dolphins fins up. This is how we're rolling. Todd Bowles said, this is it. You ain't got no choice. What are you going to say, Jay?
Well, to Jason and CV's point is Brian Flores, by the way.
Yeah, Brian Flores.
My bad.
It's no one,
defensive
no reporter, no nothing. No one is, I haven't seen anything, has come out and said that this dude is amazing in practice. Like, again, and I used this to CV yesterday. Remember when Alex Smith was playing for the Chiefs? Everybody's like, look, Pat Mahomes, he needs to start. He's better than this guy.
When is it going to happen?
Absolutely. No one said that with Tua so far down
the line. I have not heard that.
Unfortunately for Alex Smith, they also said that about Colin Kaepernick, too. Right.
Absolutely.
You guys be nice, man. Well, this man worked really hard.
I mean,
really
that's tough
to
for Alex Smith.
I'm representing the athletes over here today, man. No, but you are correct.
Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre. Like, a lot of people was like, talented. Look, this dude is the truth.
Yes.
Now, we can't get rid of Brett Favre because he's a legend, but he needs to play. So,
have we just not heard it?
But, I mean, it's a social network.
No one would have said that. Like, he's like, no, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then, boom, it's Tua. And it's like, I just thought it came out of nowhere.
And then on top of that, the other point I think you made, too, Ops, is if that's the case, why wouldn't – it sounds like this kind of hit everybody on a surprise. Like, no one's seen this being as planned.
You mean if there was a plan?
Yeah. Like Chris and Jason keep saying, look, we thought that early into the season, by week eight, we would change it no matter where we at. Mm-hmm. If they were 6-0, it doesn't matter. But everybody's, like, caught by surprise. Like, wait a minute. Now, it could be Fitzpatrick just saying, you know, his heart is broken. But if you look at the other reports, no one knew this was going to happen.
I think if it was a plan all along, I think he comes out and says, like, I know that this could happen, but I thought by my play, it would have been a change of plans.
Yeah. Okay.
But it doesn't sound like that.
Yeah. It's like, look, man, I'm balling. I'm ready to go.
I'm thinking that this is a plan. If it's not a plan, there's going to be mutiny. Watch out in that locker room.
Which is what I said, too. I think this could split a locker room, especially
facts only.
Someone who they're in the thick of things. You're in front of the Patriots.
If you were 1-5 or
that's different. But they're not.
They're not. Yeah. And they look to be trending. Last year at the end of the season, they beat the Patriots, and they needed to get the win to have home field advantage.
What happens if they lose the next two games?
That's my point. Watch out.
Come on, baby.
Eighth in the AFC, seven make it now. They're second in the division, and they're one back of
Buffalo.
It'll
be Dolphins floating around in Piscayne Bay.
All right, we'll break here. The 4 o'clock hour is coming your way next. Again, hump day hashtag five best in baseball. Tell us who you think the five best are. We'll discuss that in the next hour. When we come back, Doug and I will give our NFL top five and bottom five, where we are right now. That is next on KHDK.